Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you and thank you for listening to this today and studying with us. Today we're going to go into a brand new letter. I think we're on study number 15, the letter O, and we're going to talk about obedience. We're going to have some recordings about obedience. And so far, we've been doing pretty good and learning the Lord's Word. And that's the whole idea of this study, is to learn God's Word and to learn what the truth is and what doctrine is. Learn what it is. And we need to learn what final authority is. And speaking of authority, that's probably what we're going to be talking quite a bit about in this next study. Now, I don't know how you feel about authority and whether you're in rebellion against all authority, or you hate authority, or you don't mind it, or you put up with it. Everybody's got their own thing about authority and what they think about authority. But the fact still remains is that there ain't no time in this whole, you think of every time in the history of your life so far, has there ever been a time in your life that you wasn't answering to somebody somewhere? What do you say? I mean, you hear these guys, when I go to these jails and these prisons and talk to some of these guys and preach to them and stuff like that, you hear them say, I'm going to get my respect. And they're in the jail, they're going to get their respect, you know. And so that's the whole idea of that thing to begin with. But it's got to do with authority. Ain't nobody telling me what to do, you know, and that kind of thing. But has there ever been a time in your and you know they're in jail and the guards are telling them what to do and how to do it and when to do it and everything else, but they're going to get their respect, see? And any one of them that's being honest in his heart will tell you that there ain't been no time in his life that that there hadn't been some kind of authority in your life. Your boss man's your authority. If he ain't your authority, then the police are your authority. If they're not your authority, then the president's your authority. I mean, we got somebody that's making the decisions over us in our entire life. And the Lord said, the Lord talks about that in His Word about, and we're going to go over that in this study of obedience and what the Bible says about it, and whether or not you're supposed to let people boss you around and whether or not you're supposed to obey everybody in any and every circumstance. I mean, what does the Bible say about authority? Do you know? Do you know what the Bible says about obedience? Well, obedience is a very important thing in the Scriptures, and it's a very important thing for the Christian's life to learn what the Scriptures say about obedience, because it has to do with your walk and whether your walk is going to be right or wrong with the Lord. Because obedience is something that's very important in the Christian's life. I remember I have three daughters, two of them here on earth, and one of them's with the Lord already, but my second daughter, when she was young, she was staying with my grandmother, and she was babysitting her, and she was there, and she's kind of a she'll say her mind, and she was about, I don't know, 5-6 years old, something like that, just a little old thing, and she was walking around the house there, and Grandma told me when I got back to the house what she'd done, but she had taken care of it, you know, it wasn't no problem, but Grandma told my daughter to do something, and my daughter looked at her, and she held up three fingers, and she said, me, 3 years old, me do what me want to. Me make me own mind up. And Grandma rolled up that paper she had and bopped her on the head. Said, who's your boss now? No, she said, Misty said, me own boss. Me do what me want to. Me own boss. And I don't know where that three-year-old got that from. She didn't get it from me because she knows who's boss when I was around. But she told Grandma that, and she rolled up that paper and bopped her on the head with it, and she said, who's your boss now? And she said, you are. But a three-year-old, me own boss. So you see, this thing is part of the Adamic nature that we have. This problem with authority and this problem with being obedient is in the Adamic nature and part of the Adamic nature that we got when Adam fell. And the whole human race was cast into this thing, and you was born a sinner. Yeah, that's right, you. You was born a sinner. And if you've been in this study any time, amount of time, then you already know that. And I hope you're admitting it. And I hope you're trying to understand God's Word in that frame of mind. If you read God's Word thinking that you're somebody and that you ain't as bad as everybody else and blabbity, blabbity, blah, 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 then you're going to have a problem understanding God's Word. But if you read that Bible and you understand that you're a sinner and that you's desperately in need of grace and for a Savior, and that in your flesh dwelleth no good thing, and that if it was up to you, you'd spit in God's face, and you say, "No, Brother TV, I would never do that." Yes, you would. Yes, you would. If it wasn't for God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you and for the Word of God to keep you straight and to show you what's the difference in right and wrong, your flesh would spit in God's face and your nature would. There's part of you that hates God. You say, "No, Brother TV, I can't believe that." It's true. That flesh does not like anything about obedience. It don't want God telling it what to do. I mean, how's that? You think about it. How's that flesh boss you around? Just your flesh alone bosses you around. You fight all day long trying to tell you battle with your flesh, don't you? And that flesh definitely battles against the Lord. The Bible says that they're contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It says that they war against each other, and one's contrary to the other. So what the Bible says is true, and I hope that you're starting to believe that, and you're starting to put your trust, if you're not already, that you're starting to put your trust in what the Bible says as truth, and make the Bible your doctrine, your final authority. And see, that's what doctrine is. Doctrine is the final authority that tells you the difference in what is and what is not. You see, and that's what we need to know, and what the Bible teaches about doctrine, what it teaches about what the truth is about what is, and what the truth is about what is not. Now, there's a lot of people, the world today in 2019, and this month of April, is the world's not teaching like it was 50 years ago when we was young, for all of y'all that's my age. But 50 years ago, your neighbor'd slap you in the mouth if you disrespected him. That's how authority and obedience was back then. But now, you be smart aleck with somebody and somebody slaps you in the mouth, guess who's going to get in trouble? The one that slapped you in the mouth for disrespecting him. I mean, the world's already, it's changed its mind on obedience and authority. The world is in the frame of mind that it's teaching people to rebel against authority. And the governments and all the authorities are teaching to rebel against one another. They're teaching this stuff. If your teacher does something to you and tries to boss you around, go tell on her and get her fired. You see, if you don't like something that somebody says, then you can go turn them in and police will come and get them and we'll figure it out later. I mean, that's the thing about obedience and about authority nowadays. There's no truth in it. And it definitely ain't what the Bible teaches about authority and teaches about obedience. But we're going to go over these things and we're going to talk about them. But during this lesson right here, as we start this thing, I want to go over some things that I've been studying a whole bunch about. I always have since I've been in that troubled men's ministry, but specifically since it's turned into a critical thing in the years. In the past couple of years, probably the past 10 years, and that is suicide and how that's affecting the people, And I'm not talking about just the lost people. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about human beings and how suicide is affecting our society. and the world. This is not what I'm fixing to show you and tell you. And what I'm going to do is give you some statistics. And forgive me if I'm trying to get my words out. Just bear with me. You know, you've been through these. You know how I am. But the statistics only are updated about 2 years. The best you can get, this is 2019. The best that you can get is about 2017 at any time. And they stay behind about 2 years trying to figure this stuff out. And then they'll give you the statistics about it. And in the meantime, you can get little pieces and parts of it, but to get the full-blown thing of what really was, it takes about a couple years. But I got one here from 2016, only about 3 years ago, and it's been constantly climbing, and all the little pits and pieces that you can read about 2018, 2019 concerning suicide and concerning people killing themselves has to do with... is already talking about how it's doubled and how it's tripled and it ain't doing nothing but going up and up and up and up and up and up and up. So when I read this to you, you figure you add on 3 years to it of nothing but doing but just getting worse and worse and worse. Now, nobody likes bad news and negative stuff, but the fact of the matter is over 70% of the Bible is negative. The Bible has nothing good to say about sin and has nothing good to say about those that love sin. And the Bible doesn't think very much of human beings. It don't speak very much good about human beings. It just tells the truth. And it's not that the Bible's bad. It's that the truths that it's telling are the ones that are wicked and evil. And that's us. And until you line up your thinking with the scriptures and tell the truth to yourself in your own heart, then you're going to be in rebellion against God and His authority, which is the Word of God, and you're going to live your life like that. So the first thing we need to, do for one another is to agree that when we go through this study of obedience, you're going to tell the truth. You ain't going to tell it to me, and you're going to tell it to the Lord. And as we go through this study, and God the Holy Ghost reminds you of something in your life having to do with obedience or having to do with authority, you'll tell the truth, and you'll do it from your heart. Because obedience is only something that is dealt with in somebody's life that originates in the heart. Obedience comes from the heart. You can do what people tell you without being obedient in your heart. There was a man that was this building, and he had his little girl with him. And she was probably, 6-7 years old, and her name was Susie. And she was dressed up all pretty. I think it was in church that they was in. He was in church, and after church was over, he was watching Susie, and he was talking with some other men, trying to get some things talked about. And Susie was standing there, and he said, "Honey," he said, "do Daddy a favor." He said, "Go over there. You see that bench over there? Go over there and sit on that bench until I get done here. Would you do that?" And she just stood there. He went back to talking, and as they were talking, he kind of noticed out his peripheral vision there that Susie was still standing there. So he assumed that she didn't hear him or understand him. She turned and said, "Susie, Daddy, won't you go over and sit on that bench over there until I get done talking here? Would you do that and go over there and be a good girl?" And she looked up at him and just stood there, and he says, "Susie, go over there and sit down." When he figured out that she heard what he said and she was still standing there, then he put a little more bass in his voice and said, "Susie, Daddy wants you to go over and sit down. Now move it." And Susie turned and started walking over there. And she got over there and got up to the bench, and she just leaned up against the bench rather than getting up on it. And he done turned around and started talking again. Well, he was standing there, and something triggered him to see how Susie was doing. He turned around there and seen her standing there, and she hadn't got up on the bench. And she's dressed up in her Sunday clothes, all pretty and everything. And usually she's a real good girl, you know, just the best as she can be. And he turned around there and seen her standing there, and he put his hand up like and motioned like, get up on the bench. And she just stood there. And he said, excuse me, fellas. And he turned around, walked over to Susie. He said, Susie, he said, I told you get up on that bench 4 times now. And he said, you ain't getting up on that bench. You're being disobedient to me. And if you don't get up on that bench, I'm going to spank your bottom. So Susie's standing there, and he starts to walk away, and he turns around. He said, I said get up on that bench and sit there, and don't you move until I get done with this meeting, and we'll go. And so she climbs up on the bench, and she sits down, pulls her dress down over her knees, you know, all pretty and ladylike, and sits there and folds her hands and puts them in her lap, and she sits there. And she's being obedient. Well, he goes back over just a little ways, and he's talking with these men. And he's standing there talking with them, and he turns around, and he sees Susie there, and he just smiles real big, and he just kind of, you know, winks his eye at her and tells her how, you know, just to let her know, just gives her a little motion with his face that she's a good girl. And he goes back to talking, and directly you hear, Daddy? Daddy? And he didn't quite hear it the first time, but then she said, Daddy? And he kind of moves his head around, you know, to think she's calling him, and he's still talking. And then she said, Daddy. And he turns around, and he says, excuse me, fellas. And he said, yes, Susie, what is it, honey? Well, Daddy's busy talking. What is it? She says, Daddy, I'm still standing up in my heart. You see, you can obey because you have to, but it might not be because you want to. You see? Now, let me ask you something. When it comes to obedience and authority to the Lord, you might be sitting down, but are you still standing up in your heart? You see, that's where we're going to start to study in obedience. Is we got to go through this study of obedience with our hearts. Because if you get all the way through this study and you learn everything that the Bible says, and when we get to the end of it, you like Susie, and you're sitting down because you've been through the study, but you're still standing up in your heart, it ain't going to do you a bit of good. Not a bit of good. It's got to be in the heart. Those that come unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you don't want to be obedient to God, you're not going to be obedient to God. You might go through the motions and go to church, and you might go through the motions and pray at dinner when everybody else prays, and you might go through the motions, blabbity, 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 blab, but in your heart, you're still standing up. So we're going to start this study number 15, and we're going to start with obedience. Now, what's obedience mean? I mean, just looking it up in the dictionary, and just y'all know what obedience is, and you know what you expect out of your children when you want them to be obedient, don't you? Obedience is defined as submission to authority. And that's not all. It's the act of obeying commands. It's called yielding. It's another one is called compliant. You comply. It's called dutiful. And another definition is obedient implies a willing submission to control. In other words, you yield yourself to somebody else controlling you. And I don't mean like a robot. I mean like somebody that's humble and somebody's walking like the Lord says to walk. Now you think about Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And He come down here and took on flesh, was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years on this earth, and then died on purpose, let them torture Him. Now, you're talking about God in the flesh. Allowed His creatures to torture him and to kill him and put him to death, and then died, was buried, and resurrected, all for the sake of saving the very creatures that hated him and killed him. And in the scriptures, the Lord said that he came not to do his own will, but his Father's will. And what was that? His Father wanted to save his creatures, and this was the way it had to be done. And Jesus said, I've come to do my Father's will and not my will. And what was his will? To be obedient. The Lord, the Father said a couple times about the Lord Jesus Christ out loud, where the apostles heard it a few times, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Why do you suppose the Father said that to him? Because he was an obedient son. He gave up his will and he willingly submitted to the Father's control and what the Father wanted. And that was him being tortured and the Father's wrath being put on him, and the sins of the world, your sins and mine, being put on Jesus Christ, so that the Father's, the legalities of God's courtroom could be changed, and it could be done legally, and the Lord wouldn't be violating his integrity and his holiness in order to do it. He went through quite a bit to save us, and obedience was a big part of it. Jesus could have said anytime he wanted to. He told him when he was fixing to go to the cross, he said, don't you know, I could call down 12 legions of angels and my Father would send them? I mean, there wasn't any time that Jesus could have said, I quit. I ain't doing this. And all the time that Jesus was walking through all that, and doing all he was doing, the Bible said he went about doing good and healing. And he treated the people kind and compassionate. And he got on the ones that need to be got on and didn't give them no slack. But everybody else, he treated with compassion, the ones that was talking to him from the heart. He told people the truth about what truth is, and whether it hurt their feelings or not. And he was obedient to the Father, even the death of the cross, the Bible says. So, submission to authority, the act of obeying commands, yielding, compliant, dutiful. Obedient implies willing submission to control. Now, going on into this obedience study, and this is kind of like a preliminary beginning to obedience, and I think it's pretty good. We need to hear these things, and we need to get off on the right kind of start and not be fake about obedience and not be fake about authority and not be pretending. Most of the time when you hear the word, I mean, go in down to the mall or in the hospital or something and just stand there and don't say nothing. And people going hustling, bustling, going here and there and just say, obey, just as loud as you can. And watch the people stop and look at you like you're retarded and what did he say? And then say it again, obey. Boy, that'll stop people in their tracks, you know it. You probably had somebody throw a rock at you. Or somebody think you're retarded. Or somebody get their little camera out and start videotaping you because this is going to be a good one for YouTube. But just one word. That's kind of like saying Jesus in the middle of places like that. And just stand there and say Jesus and watch what his name, the power in his name. But you want to talk about rebellion and talk about society and how obedience affects society, just say the word. Obedience. And watch them people react. Most of the time, when you hear the word obey, you grit your teeth. and he ain't even told you what to be, and you ain't even been told what you need to obey yet, but just the word itself. You see, it's not the word. You know what it is? It's that heart. It's that heart. You know whether or not you're obedient in your heart or not, and you want to obey the Lord or not. You know whether you do or not. And hopefully through this study, as we go through the Word of God, you're going to find out that the Lord's yoke is not, the Lord's yoke is easy, and it's not, I'm trying to think of the word, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, the Lord said. It's not grievous. It's not grievous to serve the Lord. So let's move on into this thing a little bit. Now, there's a fellow named John A. Stormer. He's a preacher from the past and a teacher. And he wrote a book, and it's called Growing Up God's Way. And it has these things to say. It says, to obey is the most important single word in the Bible. Being obedient is the key to receiving all of God's blessings. To be saved from your sin and from going to hell, one must obey God's command. And the Bible in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, it says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now, suppose they hadn't believed. These people particularly did. It was the guards that was beating Paul. And then the angel come, opened up all the cells and undone their chains and everything. And when that guard seen it, he was fixing to kill himself. And Paul told him, don't hurt himself. He said, we're all here. And said, it got to his heart so much, he said, what must I do to be saved? And this was the answer. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I suppose he didn't want to obey that. Then he'd be in hell right now. But he did. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, it says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You remember we studied that a couple of lessons ago. Water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Then he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now when he says, ye must, what does that imply? It implies that it's going to take some obedience. Ye must be born again. So if you don't obey the words of God concerning believing on the name of His Son and confessing Him, then according to the Bible, you're going to die in your sins and the wrath of God's going to be on you when you die and you're going to go to hell. There's a multitude of other material and spiritual blessings for those who obey God. Unfortunately, obey is a word that's not recognized in the world any longer, not even in the childhood domain, much less exercised or respected. Kids don't even know what it means. It's not a word used around children, obey. Obey is like a word used nowadays to where if you say it, you're going to go to court. Yeah. America in 2019, now this could be probably worse than this, remember what I told you, but America right now is only 5% of the world's population. Yet America houses 25% of the world's prisoners. Did you get that? It's 5%, America, is 5% of the world's population. But it houses 25% of the world's prisoners. Out of all the prisoners in the world, America holds 25% of them. something ain't working no more. We have women's prisons like never before. We even have children's prisons. Yes. Look it up. Children's prisons. We have children in America that have life sentences. They're going to spend the rest of their lives and die behind bars. Children. I ain't talking about 13, 14, 15 years old. I'm talking about 6, 7, and 8 year olds. Life sentences. Kind of tells you something about this country, doesn't it? And the way its thinking has gone. We have women's prisons. We have children's prisons. Now, I got a scale right here. It's called the 10 leading causes of death by age group in the United States for 2016. I want to share some of this stuff with you. And I want to show you what's going on in America just 3 years ago, and it's gotten worse since then up to 2019. And as soon as I get I get that from Vital Statistics. National Vital Statistics is where you get it from, and you can get it updated. Now I don't know if they got 2017 ready or not, but this 2016. And like I said, you can just be assured that it's gotten worse. Now, the second leading cause of death in America for teens is suicide. Now, I said for teenagers. I'm not talking about adults. I'm talking about for teenagers. These are your children. This is listing the top 10 things that people die from in 2016. Not the 11th, not the 12th, not the 13th, not the 50th thing. This is the from ranking from 1 to 10 in how many people number-wise die from 1 to 10. The children from 10 years old to 14 year olds, the second leading cause, number 2, is suicide. 10-year-old to 14-year-old children kill themselves in America. The second leading cause of death is suicide. The same applies to 15-year-olds to 24-year-olds. Second leading cause only to unintentional injury. Unintentional injury is the number one leading cause of death from age 1 or age 1 all the way to age 44. Unintentional injury. Okay, well that should be number 1 because if it's unintentional, you didn't see it coming. Okay? So that's okay. But the second leading cause, starting it down, I've got 1 to 4, 5 to 9, 10 to 14, 15 to 24, 25 to 34, 35 to 44, and then so on and so forth. The first leading cause from age 1 to age 44 is unintentional injury in the United States. The second leading cause that most people die from 10 to 14 years old, is suicide. They kill themselves. If they don't get killed and don't know it, and it don't just happen to them, they will kill themselves. Now, from 15 to 24, same circumstance. If they don't die from something that they didn't expect, they will kill themselves. And I'm not talking about something that's going to happen. I'm talking about something that is happening. From age 25 to 34, if they don't die from something that they didn't expect, they will kill themselves. From 25 to 34. So every person in the United States from age 10 to age 34, the second leading cause of death in the United States is suicide. From 10 years old to 34 years old, people are thinking about killing themselves. Children. And all of our working generation. From 25 to 34, the generation that's just on the man, we're talking about my grandchildren. My grandchildren, the second leading cause of death is suicide. The first thing they're thinking, other than, you know, a car might run over me, a train might hit me, a plane might crash on top of me. Other than all that, the chances are he's thinking about killing himself. That's America right now. Now, get this. The third leading cause from 15 years old to 24 years old, the second is suicide. The third is homicide. We're talking about 15 years old to 24 years old in America right now. The first leading cause is unintentional injury. The second leading cause is suicide. If they don't get killed by unintentional things, they will kill themselves. And if they don't kill themselves, the third one kicks in. Somebody else will kill them. There's your childhood. There's what's going on in America with your children. And the same applies to age 25 to 34. If something don't kill them, unintentionally, they will kill themselves. And if they don't kill themselves, the third cause for 25 to 34 is homicide. Somebody else will kill them. They kill each other. If they can't kill themselves, if they don't die accidentally, they will kill themselves. And if they don't succeed in killing themselves, somebody else will kill them. Isn't that something? And then when you reach the magical age of 35 to 44, suicide drops from the second leading cause to the fourth leading cause of the 35 to 44s. 35 years old to 44 years old, suicide is the fourth leading cause. That's a little ways on down the scale, but out of the top 1 through 10, it's number 4. 35 years old to 44 years old. If unintentional injury don't get you, the second cause of it will be cancer. And if cancer don't get you, then you'll have a heart attack, number 3. And if you don't have a heart attack, you'll probably kill yourself, number 4. And if you don't kill yourself, number 5 will come along and somebody else will kill you. You kill each other. Homicide. And then after that, liver disease, diabetes, cerebrovascular, in other words, you have a cerebral hemorrhage or something, chronic or respiratory disease, and just stuff like that. But suicide and homicide is right on up in there. Now, we've been talking about from 15 to 24 and 25 to 34 and 35 to 44. But watch this. Let's drop all the way down to 1 year old. To 1 year old. You listening? From 1 to 4 years old, and then from 5 to 9 is the next category. And then the next one, which we mentioned a little bit about, is 10 to 14. Now, these are the children coming from the womb. From 1 to 4 years old, the first leading cause of a 1-year-old to 4-year-old is unintentional injury. Of course. I mean, accidents happen, right? Okay. Well, the next one is congenital abnormalities. The next one, the third one, is cancer. From 1 to 4 years old, children are dying of cancer as the third leading cause. Now listen to this. From 1 year old to 4 years old, the fourth leading cause of children's death in that age group is homicide. If they don't die of accident and they don't die of congenital abnormalities, and they don't die of cancer, somebody will kill them. You know, you ought to be mad by right about now. If this ain't affecting you, there's something wrong with you. Did you hear what I said? 1 to 4 years old. If they don't die from an accident, which is number one, or congenital anomalies, number two, and if they don't die from cancer, number three, then somebody kills the 1 to 4 year old, number four. From 1 to 4 years old, the fourth leading cause in America for those children is that they will be killed. 2016. This is 2019, and it's gotten worse. 5 years old to 9 years old. You'd think, well, I mean, can you believe that America, instead of raising their children at from 1 to 4 years old, when the kids are just crawling around and getting out of diapers and just starting to learn how to walk and all this, and you ain't got to clean them up no more, and they're starting to learn and say mama and dada and all that, that the fourth leading cause, other than accident and two health things that'll kill you, that parents decide to kill their children. I mean, that don't bother you at all? And then let's move up to the next group, 5 to 9 years old. It's the same exact thing, except the cancer and the congenital anomalies, they switch places. Accidents is first cause of death, number one, from 5 to 9. And then comes cancer, number two, that kills 5 to 9 year olds. And then comes three, which is congenital anomalies. And then, guess what? Nobody wants the 5 and 9 year olds around anymore, so they kill them. Homicide. 1 to 4 year old, fourth leading cause, homicide. 5 to 9 years old, fourth leading cause, homicide. Guess what? Listen to this one. If your child makes it to 10 years old in America, in 2016, from 10 to 14 years old, the first leading cause, I mentioned it a while ago, is accidental, unintentional injury. That's the first leading cause. Second leading cause in 10 to 14s, suicide. 10 years old to 14 year old, if they don't die accidentally, they will kill themselves. 10 years old to 14 years old. Let me say that again. 10 years old to 14 years old. Let me say that one more time. 10 years old to 14 years old. If they don't die accidentally, the second leading cause is suicide. Does anybody care? And the third one for the 10 to 14 year olds is cancer. And then guess what? Here comes number four. Can you guess what it is? Homicide. So nobody, if nobody other than accidental death, and for the 10, 14-year-olds, for number two, if cancer don't get you, or a congenital anomaly, or suicide, and the third one don't get you, the cancer and the congenital anomaly, then guess what? If you make it to number four, 1 year old to 14-year-old, somebody's going to kill you. America is killing their children from 1 year old to 14 year olds. The fourth leading cause is that somebody kills those children. America, you know what the record right now is, and they call it a record. It's probably one of the worst things anybody could think of. But this is how hard the hearts are getting in America. That if these things that I've mentioned to you, if they have not affected you at all, why not? These things should be shocking. Shouldn't they? They should be shocking that a country We think of all these third world countries and we hear that they kill their children and sacrifice them to fake gods and things like that. And we say, oh. But the numbers don't lie, folks. We're talking about the 10 leading causes, and I didn't even say the 5th through the 10th. I'm just talking about the 1st through the 4th. That this country is killing its own children. And if it don't kill the children are killing themselves, and if they ain't killing themselves, they're killing each other. Now that's the facts. The study is about obedience. Where in the world would you get a generation with numbers like this and facts like this of age groups like this having to do with suicide all be down to the 500th place? Man, when I was a boy, we thought somebody talking about, we never talked about killing ourselves. And if somebody did, we thought, man, them people crazy. But it's everyday stuff now. And this country's killing its children. Did you get that? And if the country don't kill it, and it makes it to 10 years old, then it'll probably kill it. The child will probably kill himself. And if he don't kill himself, then somebody else will kill him by the time he gets to 15. Let me ask you a question. What is it about America that would make a child, that would make a country want to kill its children between 1 year old and 14 year old, that would want to kill the children, homicide, want to kill the children at that age? And what is it about this country that a 10-year-old, if he don't get at the 10-year-old all the way to 34 years old in all three categories, if what is it about this country that has happened that if something accidentally don't kill them, then they will kill themselves? I tell you what it is. By the time a child is born from 1 year old all the way up to 9 years old, if he don't get cancer and he don't have congenital anomalies and he doesn't accidentally get killed and nobody kills him and he makes it to 10 years old, he has lived 10 years in the United States already and on this planet and in this world. And that 10-year-old looks around him and he says, man, is this all there is? Is this what I got to look forward to? 10 years old. And he looks around and he says, this is it? This is what you call paradise and the world's getting better and people are getting better and blabbity 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 blab blab. And he looks around him and he comes to the conclusion in his 10-year-old heart that there ain't nothing worth living for. So he kills himself. And then if he makes it to 15 years old and don't kill himself and don't accidentally get killed, then if he makes it to 15 years old and he can keep from killing himself, then somebody else will kill him. That's the third leading cause when you make it to 15 years old. We're talking about obedience. That's what this lesson's about. Do you think this chart has anything to do with the way obedience and obeying is being thought of in America? You think it's got anything to do with it at all? The fourth leading cause of death for children in this obedient, God-fearing country is homicide. This age is characterized, this age that we live in, this age that we're talking about right now, this age is characterized by rebellion. Rebellion and disobedience come directly from man's sinful nature. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 5, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection." There's your queers and all the homos and all that stuff. "Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Now, all them things right there in 2 Timothy, a 10-year-old's looking around and he's seeing all that. Right now. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but being a fake. And you think that 10-year-old is going to say, "Whoopee!" No, he's going to say, "How'd I get out of here?" 10 years old. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." We see rebellion in the home, rebellion in the society, and rebellion in the churches, all stemming from a basic rebellious attitude toward God. God don't tell me what to do. It's pretty well expected for the unsaved world to have problems with rebellion, isn't it? But it's still not excused by the Lord, but it's expected. But for it to be running rampant among the people that have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in them, they're born again, is completely and utterly unacceptable. If any people on this planet should be showing what God has said in His Word concerning obedience, it ought to be found among the Christians, the real ones, not the fakes. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 and 21, 43 says this, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Well, guess what? We just got through reading the fruits a while ago. The 10 leading causes of death of our children and everybody else all the way from age 1 up past age 65. The first through the 10th leading causes of death, there's the fruit. "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." So we can't fake it. We can't lie about it. We got to say, wait a minute, what's making all this happen on this chart about our children not wanting to live and them wanting to kill each other? And besides accidental death, the biggest thing for our children in America is that they kill themselves and they kill each other. And that ain't something that you're thinking about. That's something that they're doing. "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Therefore, know them. "Therefore, say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof." Guess what? God says, America, you don't want Him, He don't want you. Psalm chapter 81, verse 15, 16 says this, "The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee." That's the way America used to be. People used to just love waking up in the morning because of just how prosperous everything was. And I ain't talking about greedy and everybody taking advantage of everybody like they're doing today. I'm talking about that it was enjoyable to get up in the morning and live in America and walk outside and go, ah. All your windows open, your doors unlocked, your car sitting out there unlocked, everything. Didn't worry about it. No, you know the neighbor ain't going to steal nobody. And even the stranger wasn't going to steal nothing. And surely they wasn't going to kill themselves, and they sure wasn't going to hurt nobody else. And everybody carried guns then. And they wasn't a threat. Romans 10:3 says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Now we're going to stop right there. And we'll pick up the rest. We'll pick up and we'll start studying what the Bible has to say about obedience. Obedience is doing what those in authority request or want. It's the opposite of doing your own thing. True obedience involves doing what an authority wants immediately, respectfully, joyfully, and completely. You can go the rest of your life imagining that you're not going to be in, nobody's going to tell you what to do. Somebody's going to tell you what to do somewhere, somehow, somewhere. If they don't tell you on the outside of the jailhouse, they'll tell you on the inside of the jailhouse. And if you make it all the way to your deathbed, as soon as you go into eternity, somebody's going to tell you what to do there. Obedience requires the submission of the will of the individual to those in charge. True obedience ultimately stems from submission to God and a heart that wants to do it. That's what Brother Stormer said in his book. That's some crazy stuff, ain't it? But it's real. It's real. So I hope that as we get into this study talking about obedience, that it won't be something that I hope you've changed your mind about looking forward to studying this and what God's Word says about obedience. Obedience is actually something that saves our lives. It's something that does us good rather than bad in the way this world's teaching. You need to get a different thought about obedience, and you need to change your doctrine to what the Word of God says about obedience and change your thinking about it. So we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures, okay? You ready? First one is Acts chapter 16, verse 31. John chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. Romans chapter 5:19, excuse me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. And then chapter 21, verse 43. Psalm chapter 81, verse 15 and 16. And then Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. And those are our scriptures for today. Well, I don't really know what else to say about it. The facts are the facts, aren't they? What a shameful chart of leading causes of death. This should be the last thing that was this chart should not ever exist in the manner that it exists in America or among God's people. Let me say that America is not God's people anymore. The Christians, the brethren, the body of Christ, the church. That's what this study is about. The ABCs of Christian growth. I'm not talking about what the world thinks. The world does not think anything about this chart. It don't mean nothing. It's kind of like a piece of paper they get. They look at it for a couple seconds, throw it over their shoulder. But the Bible says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." All right, let's check the fruit. We checked it, didn't we? What's that fruit tell us about obedience and obeying in America as far as the children think? Well, they think they ain't seen no obedience, so I'm getting out of here. And they kill themselves, or they kill somebody else, or they kill each other. And what about the generation below you, say the 25 to 35 and 40-year-old, something like that? What do they think about obedience? What do you see? What's the fruit? What about your generation? What does your generation think about obedience? Well, suicide and homicide goes all the way up to age 64. And then, amazingly enough, if you make it to 65, homicide and suicide are not mentioned in the top 10 because there's so many other things that are killing you. These things ought not to be, the Lord said. Okay, well, we're going to stop right there, and the Lord bless you. And think about this stuff. Pray about it. Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, what he wants you to do is exactly what you're doing. Honor him and honor his word. And it starts right there. And as far as obedient, if you're listening to this, you have obedience in your heart. Because you had to make yourself sit down and do this, and you done it on purpose. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Well, y'all have a wonderful evening, and I thank you for listening, and we're going to stop right now, like I've said 4 or 5 times, but we'll get into more about what the Bible says about obedience and learn what the Lord says, okay? That's what we want to know, and that's what we want in our lives, is what the Lord says, what the Bible says. Have a good evening, and God bless you. Bye-bye.